Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
The views and opinions expressed by the hosts, guests, and callers on this show are not the opinions of TeleSouth Communications, its management, or advertisers.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Oh, happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. All things under the sun. Glad to be with you here on Crusader Talk. Caleb Hamill, Josh West with you, and we are so glad that you've chosen to join us for this episode of Crusader Talk. We are doing all kinds of stuff. We're going to be talking about basketball and recapping their most recent action, but also, because it's the end of a calendar year and this is our last show of 2025, we're getting a little bit reminiscent on the program today. And Josh, you and I have been going back and forth. We've been crunching numbers. We have been doing the utmost research. I think I've done more research for this episode than I have for any ball game that I had throughout the calendar year of 2025. But we are going to go through as best we can to determine basically Crusader Awards is what we're calling them. Maybe we need to come up with a better name for it. Maybe they're going to be the Saber Awards, the Seder Awards. I don't know. Have you come up with anything to top? You know, just Crusader Awards yet, Josh? We've gone back and forth on this.
Yeah, no, I was thinking of something maybe, you know, zany or something like that. But no, I think that, you know, Crusader Awards are perfectly fine. And I think we've got a lot of great categories. We've got some input from others inside the athletic department. So I think that, I think it's going to be a fun show. Probably, I think it's going to be one of the more memorable ones we've done in recent memory.
Yeah, and we thought it would be a good episode just because for anybody out and about traveling during the holidays, you'll get out of sync with what time is over these next few days as you're traveling about going to visit all your relatives. To say, oh, back on Tuesday this happened. Yeah, we'll address basketball this segment and kind of recap it. But we wanted to go more timeless with the rest of that, and that's just going to be a good opportunity to kind of recap the year that is 2025, the calendar year. We could obviously do this in the summer, and honestly, thinking back about it now, it probably would make a good summer episode because we're always scrapping for content there in June and July. But nevertheless, we're going to go through categories of male and female athletes of the year, male and female newcomers of the year, assistant coach of the year, coach of the year, milestone, all these different things. And we'll get to them as we go through the middle two segments of the show today. But Josh, to start it off, man, this has been an incredible beginning to the basketball season for both Carey men and women. And I think we have to start with the women's team for recently getting two big top 25 wins, now three on the year, and those most recent two on the road at a neutral site.
No, I mean, it's absolutely huge. I mean, what they were able to do, in Florida against Georgetown, and then to follow it up against Carroll, Montana, Georgetown was a team that was ranked 23rd. They slipped a little bit in the poll to 24th, I believe. And then Carroll, Montana was ranked as high as 14th, slipped to 16th, lost a few games, slipped to 23rd. But still, that's as you said, two more top 25 wins. I think over the span of those 2 days, Carey trailed maybe for a total of just a minute or so by a point. They took care of business. They controlled those games in large part in terms of, the way they wanted to play. And in particular in the game, and we're going to hear from, Coach Garriga when you're ready to cue that. But, injuries were a storyline. This is a banged up team now. Christmas break could not come at a better time, and so a chance to get healthy. But this team has now won 50 consecutive regular season games. And Caleb, you pointed out, which was a great little text thread to Clayton and I, that's over two calendar years. So that's over 730 days since they've lost a regular season game. And they're 11-0 this year off the 25-0 finish of last year in the regular season and winning your final 14 regular season games of the prior year. And that's a run that, you know, I don't know, do we ever see that again in another sport?
That's a great question. And I was thinking back about it, and I was going back through the schedule trying to figure out when was that last one. And all of a sudden I realized, oh, I was there for it. That was 2 years ago when I was calling the basketball games for Cary Women. They were on the road at Loyola, and that was a matchup in which Lauren Rowley and Rose Warren were playing at the same time. I think Rowley may have gotten injured there towards the end of that time of the season. And so they were just trying to figure out Rose Warren at the point, I want to say. And they lost by two, I believe, and had a chance right there to win it at the end and just couldn't get the right shot off. But it's just one of those things where you look back and you go, wow, it really has been two full calendar years since William & Carey lost a regular season women's basketball game. It's incredible. And I do have that clip from your conversation with Coach Garrigan. We'll go ahead and knock that out right here.
Joined by phone by the victorious head coach of the William & Carey Crusaders women's basketball team, head coach Jessica Garrigan. And coach, you caught me on my way to the gym. You're on your way to dinner, and what a delicious dinner it will be. Two wins over two top 25 teams to keep the Crusaders undefeated on a day in which folks were going down everywhere with little bangs and bruises and knees and everything. And boy, just again, the next player up mentality of this program, everybody stepped up and again, found a way to get the job done.
Man, it's so exciting being over here and just like as a unit to be able to compete. It's taken literally all that we've had this week in Powerhouse. And so we've talked about it so much in preparation and having those kids ready whenever their number's called. And it's just a testament, you know, they've been locked in. They focus on the things we talk about, and they just get in there. And I said, you got to make it happen, find a way to make it happen. And they just do. So super pumped about these kids.
Well, super pumped is certainly right. And again, as the team is banged up, to have the Christmas break, to have some much needed time off, it couldn't come at a better time for this team.
Oh, exactly. And that was part of my decision. I mean, Addie went down in the first quarter, and right there from the get-go, we're playing out of position. So I had to come in like every kid from that rotation on. We just had to mix in, and then we lost Jennifer a little bit. And then towards the end, it was Maddie. So, I mean, playing without pretty much three starters right there and just having to keep asking the kids to come in and do their job and also do jobs of other positions that they're not necessarily the most repped at was just phenomenal of them.
Coach Garrigan, before we let you go, what does the Christmas break look like in terms of when do the players report again to get back to business and get ready for a big game on the road January 5th down in New Orleans against Dillard?
So actually tomorrow we're going to get to go and have a park day, so that's part of it. Enjoy a little bit of the experience, something that they can remember. And then after that, we'll have a couple of just single days where they come and meet up. But we'll get back after it every single day starting probably New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve, New Year's, and then we'll be back every day. So like I said, we'll have a couple of other days sprinkled in where we just come in for like a one a day and then go back. Because we're close enough that we can do that.
Well, Coach, you and the team, be safe. Make memories. You've already made a bunch. This season is young. So many more chapters to be written. Send all of our well wishes to all the ladies that are going to be, you know, doing whatever they can to be as close to 100% or 100% as possible to kick off 2026. And we'll see you shortly.
Glory to God. Go Crusaders.
So that was Coach Jessica Garrigan joining Josh earlier. I mean, that was a fantastic trip out to Daytona Beach, Florida, you know, for them. And, man, maybe a sign of things to come because that's, like we mentioned earlier, three top 25 wins of the book now in the regular season of 2025-2026.
Yeah, I mean, those trips may not mean as much at some of the higher levels of college basketball as they do now, but my goodness, do they mean a lot at the NAIA level to be able to go to Daytona Beach, Florida, to take in the good weather, to, as you mentioned, have a park day And I can only assume they were taking in either a, you know, Disney, Universal, something that's right there in that area as a part of the experience that's built into the tournament structure and what these athletes are able to build memories with one another. And so just a great chance for some camaraderie to build and, you know, excited to see what they're going to do when they get back from Christmas, because they're going to be favored in the vast, vast majority of their games over the next 2 months of the regular season.
Yeah, man, we blew through this first segment. We didn't even get a chance to mention the talent from basketball, men's basketball, that is, getting back-to-back 100-point-plus victories. One you expect over Southeastern Baptist College, but, man, toppling Suno 115-87? I didn't think I had quite that big of a deficit or high-scoring affair in order, just based off what I knew from Kerry playing Suno in the past few years.
Yeah, Jenkins had 33 points, five players in double figures, 14 threes in that basketball game. There were a total in the game of 24 steals for Kerry, and they turned that into 32 Suno turnovers.
Man, oh man. Hey, that's taking care of business right there. But Kerry, on both the men's and women's basketball fronts, getting the job done most recently ahead of the break for Christmas and New Year's. But as you heard Coach Gehrig say, no rest for the weary. They're right back at it come New Year's Eve. So we're looking forward to that coming up in the next calendar year. But to recap the first one that we just got through, the Crusader Awards are up next.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, ready now for our first try at this maiden voyage of not Crusader Talk, but the Crusader Awards. And again, patent pending on the name, trademark, still getting the paperwork done. We'll figure it out. We're going to see, you know, what awards stick, what's going to be new in the years to come, if we even ever do this again. I think in the future we are going to have a good voting committee, because right now the voting committee is Josh and I right here, right now, with a little bit of, you know, determination before. But we're going to walk through some of these different categories that we've come up with, the different nominees that we have for these categories, and then, you know, make our reveal of who we want to award each of these to. And Josh, even before, right before the segment began, you and I were talking about, you know, what makes sense to begin with. You know, do you want to start slow and kind of work your way up into some of the bigger categories? And, you know, we could go with, you know, things like, you know, your newcomers of the year or your most improved awards. But man, I really want to just jump right in feet first with what's going to be a big discussion maker, and that's going to be talking about our two sets of athletes of the year. Or the two athletes of the year, male and female. We've split them up. And yeah, we've got great candidates on both sides. Let's just go ahead and start with the male athlete of the year, because these candidates, they make it difficult. They really do. One of the suggestions we got was Josh Alexander from baseball. And this is a pretty fun storyline for him. If you ever followed baseball last year, you kind of know what the season was like for Josh. Kind of the early season on into the first weekend of conference play against Abraham Baldwin, it really did not do well. And this is a guy, you know, coming off of transferring in, I believe it was from Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns. And so he comes in to play at William Carey and just is not hitting the ball well at all. And you look back and all of a sudden you see him explode from a sub 100 average to finishing the year 316. It was higher than that. I think it was in the 400s, closer towards the end of the regular season. But man, Josh really turned it on and all of a sudden became the conference player of the year. Once the tournament began, had that at awards night added to his ledger, but just a great all around player that transferred into William Carey. Again, finished with a 313 average. But to see his progression over that whole season was pretty phenomenal to watch.
I totally agree. And then, of course, you know, with what he did throughout the course of this season, that then culminates into third team All-American honors. So, you know, just how well he was recognized on a national level as well. I mean, he was, you know, just lights out. And you mentioned when the switch flipped, if you will, and it just started to click. There was no stopping him from that point. So definitely a well-deserved nominee.
Yeah. If you were to just look at his average in conference play versus, you know, the whole season, it really, those first 11 or so games of the year really bogged him down in his overall statistics, because once you hit your stride into regular season conference play, he just became nails. I mean, having batting 500 performances and a lot of different games, or above, to be frank, as the season progressed. But all that said, so Josh Alexander, one of our candidates for Male Athlete of the Year. But, man, then you also got to tip your cap to guys like Jamie Berry, goalkeeper for soccer, who is a newcomer in his own right as well. And Jamie Berry from Dublin, Ireland, did not start the year. Another story of a player that did not start the year strong, but came out, and boy, did he ever make a splash for William Carey on the season. He just had save after save. He collected 71 on the season, a save percentage of 84.5%. He was the conference's defensive player of the year, and that's really rare for a keeper to get that honor, and yet he did it. Because we're going to spend all our time talking about each of these individuals, we got to get a move on. But other candidates, Mate Misli, this is where we get into the tough ones, because this is a, you know, less spectator sports, but really good honors. Mate was the swimming champion for the NAIA in a couple different categories, had an individual championship as well as participated in a team championship in one of the events. And then Barnabas Agger in track and field, also a national champion individual as well for William Carey over the last calendar year. And that's the other thing. I don't know that we've really made clear, Josh. We're talking about from January 1st of 2025 till the day we recorded this here in late December. So, you know, we can't take into full account things like volleyball's, you know, upset win in the national tournament last year. We can't talk about soccer's, you know, Final Four finish a year ago. We're talking about what happened between the calendar dates that have 2025 ending them. So with all that said, when you boil down the Male Athlete of the Year, boy, this is tough.
I've got a opinion here as to which way I would vote. And in the tiebreaker, I look at the national champions, Barnabas and Mate, because they are national champions. Berry was great, but soccer didn't have the finish nationally that they did the prior season. Neither did baseball. It finished shy of a trip to the World Series. So then the tiebreaker for me is that Mate wins a national championship in the program's inaugural season. That is something that it will be, you know, talked about forever in terms of William Carey Athletics, and that's so special.
Yeah, and again, Mate is not with us anymore. He's since transferred out of William Carey, but for his performance in the 2025 season, or in this calendar year, I think you do have to give it to the guy that was such a big champion for William Carey. And it, when you put it in that context, swimming's first season as a program at Carey, to be able to accomplish that, it deserves recognition. So, man, right out of the gate, pretty impressive performer getting honors here in a non-extreme spectator sport of swimming. And Mate Misli being our Male Athlete of the Year for 2025. Now, we'll turn it over to Female Athlete of the Year, and we're probably going to run out of time in this segment, so we'll cruise through the rest of them in the long third segment. But I've got listed down as our four nominees: Karen Vallow from soccer, Chanel Corpus from basketball, Julia Shaw from softball, and then a name you may not be familiar with, Victoria Veaton from tennis. And I may be butchering her last name. My apologies, Victoria. But Karen Vallow, we've talked about her. You know, star from day one with Danny Owens' women's soccer team. you as well as anybody else could talk about Chenille Korpoos and the performances she's had in the calendar year. I mean, just she's such a threat in the paint when it comes to scoring, but is also such a great defender for William Carey. Julia Shaw in softball had a great start to the year and I believe got injured late in the season, so didn't really get to finish out strong there, but a great player nonetheless. And then here's the one that really stood out to me, Josh. And this was kind of a diamond in the rough find. Victoria Veaton from women's tennis. Here's her story. I went back and just started looking up and down the stat columns of tennis. Victoria, in her doubles team, which she kept the same one, her and Isabella tag teamed for all of their doubles matches this season or this past season. And Victoria finished in doubles an undefeated 16-0 with Isabella Lechuga. Now, you ask yourself, what did she do on an individual standpoint? She had all of one loss the entire year. She went 11-1 as an individual. Only loss of the year was in the final match of Carey's for the season, and that was in the meeting against Loyola for the SSAC championship on April the 19th. She lost that match 4-6 and then 1-6 to Loyola's Lucy Carpenter. But only one loss did she see the entire season in 2025. That's pretty incredible.
No, I think it is. And, you know, so I kind of gave you my tiebreaker for the men's side, and we got just a few seconds left. You get to have the tie break for the women's side, because when I look at Chenille Korpoos, her average, career average of 15 points a game and almost 8.5 rebounds, her points per game have gone 14.4, 15 points a game, and 16.3 for a team, as we mentioned at the top, that has won 50 regular season games in a row, and then last year did not lose. So throughout the entire calendar year, Carey women's basketball in the regular season also has not lost. It's been two calendar years. So where do you go? Women's basketball had two losses, you know, all of the calendar year last year, and then Victoria had one. So where's your tiebreaker there, Caleb?
See, my tiebreaker is going to be this. I have to separate out these players and say, if you did not have this player, how would your team season be? And Veaton had a great season for tennis. I will not take anything away from her in that regard. But what it boils down to is she also had some other players around her that helped make that team's run possible. Chenille Korpoos likewise did, but her efforts were so far outmatched of some of her teammates. She, to me, is the standalone for Female Athlete of the Year in 2025. So we'll come to more awards up next as we continue with the Crusader Awards.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
This has proven to be a very fast episode. I think, one, because I'm just talking too much, but two, because I just realized how big of an awards layout we have for this episode. And we're going to be running right down to the wire here. But that entire last segment, we only crowned two different Crusader Award winners. Male Athlete of the Year went to Mate Misley from swimming, and then Female Athlete of the Year, Chenille Korpoos, for both the end of her sophomore year but also the beginning of her junior year this year. Already playing so terrific for William Carey, and now under Coach Jessica Garriga, who we heard from earlier. Now time to turn it around and look at some other performances. Yeah, it's easy to point out the best athlete of a year for either side, male and female, but how about this? How about newcomer of the year? This could be open to freshmen or transfer students, and it's kind of based off something the SSAC has begun to do with some of their awards ceremonies that they'll have right before conference tournament play. But we'll have male newcomer of the year and then female newcomer of the year. And to start it off, I've got two baseball players, one we've already mentioned. But Eli Collins, a transfer from USM to William Carey last year, played a little bit of everything. He played a little bit of infield, played a little outfield as well. He was kind of a multi-tool guy, just put wherever He was needed in a given standpoint. Came back from having a head-to-head collision with Bradley Thomas midway through the year, which he ended up with the worst look from it all, but he ended up getting back to the field quicker than Bradley. But did a terrific job, all things considered. And I'll give you some stats to try to supplement that just a little bit. But in that year that he had for William Carey, after transferring from USM, he was able to amass a batting average of .336. So ended up with a higher batting average than Josh Alexander. But probably the biggest highlight was something really early on in the year for him. And that was that he went 4-for-4 in game one against Pikeville in a win for William Carey that was a 13-3 run rule walk-off, in which Collins hit the game-winning single that drove in Bradley Thomas to get that 10-run advantage. Not to say it was downhill for there for Collins, but it was still a great year for him because it's hard to stay perfect with 4-for-4, 1,000 batting average on the year. But nevertheless, that was what his story was for the season. Josh Alexander, player we mentioned earlier, also a newcomer of the year candidate from the male side. Jamie Berry, a player from soccer we mentioned earlier, the keeper for William Carey. And here's one from basketball. And Josh, I'll let you give Cam Brown's numbers. But Cam was such a contributor for men's basketball last year.
Yeah, transfers in, leads the team in scoring, you know, comes in and has 1 year to play, averages 17.2 points per game. He was so clutch for this team. You wanted the ball in his hands late, if anyone had it, to get that final shot. And he also finishes first team all conference. So, you know, he left his mark on the program, no question, for a Carey team in men's basketball that got back to the national tournament last year.
Yeah, so pretty awesome performance there. But our newcomer of the year award is going to go to somebody we've already mentioned earlier. Didn't win the Male Athlete of the Year award, but he is going to win the Newcomer of the Year award, and that is Josh Alexander. Though Eli had the better batting average, Josh had the better season impact as it came to a whole. And we mentioned his numbers earlier, finished the year with a .316 batting average, but he was a player of the year for the SSAC. It really helped the Crusaders in their route to try to get into the NAIA National Championship round. Despite a 3-for-6 effort against Oklahoma Wesleyan in what was the Crusaders' final game of the year, just kind of came up short, but still just a tremendous performance down the important stretch for William Carey, especially there late on in the season. I said 3-for-6. I meant to say 2-for-6. He scored 3 runs in that game. But nevertheless, Josh Alexander is our male newcomer of the year. Now, female newcomer of the year. Only one repeat from our Female Athlete of the Year candidates, and it is Julia Shaw, who is the repeat offender there. From softball, she was able to do a lot from the batter's box, pitched a little bit as well, and again, we said earlier, was banged up there late in the year. But two basketball names, and this is weird for basketball, and you and I talked about this before we aired and recorded this today. It's weird because we're doing calendar years, so you're looking at who was a great newcomer at the end of last year and who was a great newcomer at the beginning of this season. And we've got two candidates from women's basketball. For last year, Addie Shearer, and then for this year, Brooklyn Cuevas.
Oh, yeah, Addie Shearer. I was going back and looking at Addie's numbers, and you know, to paint the whole picture of how impactful she's been, she's almost doubled her points per game average this year. She's already got 3/4 as many assists as she did a year ago. So she's made a big jump as well from year one to year two. She's a little banged up right now. And so it's going to be very critical that she is able to rest and rehab and do everything she needs to do over the break. But Addie was so impactful. Think back to the Loyola game. Undefeated regular season hanging in the balance. She teams up with Anna Rose Engel to have one of the most dramatic wins in the history of William Carey women's basketball. 18 points, 5 made threes, 5 rebounds in a game where they had to have her. That was such a moment for her. She also was critical in a triple overtime win at Blue Mountain.
Oh, yes.
So that was huge.
Early in the year,
remember, that was
too.
Her coming out party of last season. Now fast forward to this fall when Carey needed someone to step up in Leah Sutton's absence. Leah had missed four games going into the win over Carroll, Montana. She was back against Carroll, Montana. Brooklyn Cuevas, you know, had already established herself as a shooter, and then she comes in and establishes herself as a starter, and she's going to be really tough to take out of that spot. She's playing so well right now, and when you look at what she is doing at this point in the season in terms of made three-point baskets, she is leading the team with 23 made threes at a 40% clip, and she is more than 2-1 over the second best three-point shooter, which is, of course, Addie Shearer. And so Brooklyn Cuevas now averaging almost 9 points per game, and you could see her by season's end perhaps be the second leading scorer on this Carey women's basketball team. So two very deserving players there.
Yeah, and then to round it out, Lauren Entremont. We talked to her on the podcast a little while back, but Lauren is the team's second leading goal scorer this season, as it's already come to a close. 16 goals on the year in her freshman year. Now, not a transfer, but a freshman playing for William Carey. And 38 points is what she collects, you know, when you tally up the weights of assists and goals scored. Shooting percentage at 31%, that's pretty good, all things considered, for how many shots so many of these take on the year. But Entremont, a freshman from Brandon, Mississippi, terrific splash, only behind Karen Bilal, who had 20 goals scored this season. Just terrific effort this season. And Josh, I have to say, Brooklyn Cuevas, I think there's a lot to be said about what she's been able to do. But thinking back about it now, and I'm trying to make sure I don't get my wires crossed right here, was she not on the team last year? And so this is actually her second year?
Yeah, she was. So
I guess you'd be looking at last year where she wasn't the impactful player. It's almost like she's a newcomer this year.
Yeah, she was so impactful. You're right. So that's kind of almost an asterisk you got to put there, because she was a part of the team but had no chance to really work herself into the lineup. She feels like a newcomer, but she's not. So that kind of bumps her down a couple of notches. But I think when you mentioned Lauren Entremont, and I'm trying to get her stats to pull up in real time here as we're doing this, she had a hat trick, did she not?
Yeah.
Very early on in her career.
Mm-hmm. I believe you're right.
Good grief. I mean, her splash that she made when this women's soccer team was just coming into their own offensively, was just developing their identity this year, and the way she carried herself, you know, she looked like a veteran. She trained like a veteran. She played like a veteran. And then that team just really hit stride, and she was right a part of it, like she was a, you know, an upperclassman. I mean, it's Entremont all the way for me.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's the fact that, and it was against Georgia Gwinnett, that 3-0 victory over Georgia Gwinnett. All three goals were hers. And that was, as you said, very early on in the season. We were wondering who were going to replace Christina Salmon and Alicia Davis, and we found out Lauren Entremont, one of those. Alicia Navarro, another one that helped out tremendously for Carey. But Lauren Entremont, well-deserving, and she is our female newcomer of the year. Got about a couple minutes left, so we'll have time to get at least one more of these in and then try to wrap it up for us all. Assistant of the year, I've got two big leaders in the house right now, and they're both from basketball. PJ McCray and Jessica Garriga for last basketball season. And PJ kind of more so for what's become this year, because for him, he's really had to step into a head coaching role at times because of the absence of Coach Knighton and his ailing hip, which, you know, over this break, we're hoping to see him recover well from a surgery. But tremendous, I'm using that word too much here, but a great recruiting for him. And then on top of that, just having to step into the big chair, if you will, more times than one.
Oh, I mean, both are so great. Coach G and PJ are such great X's and O's coaches. I mean, we're already seeing what Coach Garriga is doing as a head coach this year. You know, PJ, is on his way to being that type of a coach as well, to being a head coach at some point. But he's already been that. And in all those games he's coached throughout the calendar year of 2025, undefeated in those games, stepping in with Bert being his assistant when he's the head man in Coach Knight's absence. So PJ McCray gets my nod, assistant of the year.
How about that? Well, and hey, credit to Coach Jessica Garriga as well. You know, she's kind of double dipping. She's got an opportunity at Coach of the Year and then Assistant of the Year as well. I mean, it's kind of a weird spot to be in, and she is definitely worthy of the mention right there. But yeah, PJ definitely gets a nod right there for Assistant of the Year. So PJ McCray, men's basketball assistant, earns the Crusader Award for Assistant Coach of the Year. Still got a couple awards to give out. We're going to have to cram them into a final short segment. We've got Team of the Year, Coach of the Year, Upset of the Year. How about this one? Milestone of the Year. We'll start off with that one next as we try to put a big bow on this 2025 calendar year with more Crusader Awards. Stay with us.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, this is going to be the fastest 6.5 minutes of Crusader Talk ever, as we still have some big awards to give out for 2025. And I said going into the break, we're going to do a milestone of the year to lead it off, and I will fulfill that promise. Our candidates are, I've got three of them, and these can kind of go to individuals or teams, and we boiled it down to this. One thing we've already talked about earlier in the program, and that's that women's basketball went the entire calendar year without losing a regular season game. Their only losses were their two postseason losses, the one in the SSAC tournament, then the loss to Xavier in the NAIA tournament. So that's milestone number one. And milestone number two is one that happened first chronologically, and that was Coach Halford passing Ron Polk in career wins for a collegiate baseball coach in the state of Mississippi. Passed that 1,373 win total that Ron Polk possessed. And with that, Coach Halford also earned himself a spot in the Mississippi Sports Hall of Fame with a nomination, and he will be inducted coming up next year. But all that kind of culminated into one big thing there for him. And then very recently, Coach Knight earned his 800th career win. And to be honest, I forgot to have that on my radar going into that matchup a couple days ago. But that was a great feat for Coach Knight. But, Josh, I think we all know which one probably got the most headlines and received the most attention and is going to receive ours here as well. And that's got to be Coach Halford becoming the winningest ever collegiate baseball coach in the state of Mississippi.
And let's be honest, it renewed our faith in the voting process of the Mississippi Sports Hall of Fame. Let's just say it.
We have been hinting at that for a long time. It's good to see it finally come through. But Coach Halford, you're the winner of Milestone of the Year. Now, quickly, we'll go through Upset of the Year. And a couple of choices to choose. You know, one recent one with women's basketball taking down Georgetown, Kentucky. I also listed women's soccer taking down the defending national champions in SCAD Savannah. That was a pretty nice one earlier this year, and it's kind of rare to see women's soccer get what would be considered an upset win. But I think you have to go with what was such a dramatic moment last year, or I say last academic year, and it was the women's golf finish at the SSAC championship. If you did not hear what happened there, go back to one of our previous podcast episodes where we broke it down. Or you can go online and read from the women's golf page just what happened. But all that said, Carey came from down how many strokes, Josh? Do you remember on the last day?
12 strokes over the final 2 days.
Yeah, so 12 strokes.
Against number four, Dalton State.
Yeah.
Number four.
And forced a playoff to where you had to play extra holes after you finished the 18. in pairings, and Kerry was able to better the Roadrunners there and come away with an SSAC title. So that is the award for our upset of the year. It has to go to women's golf. Now, Josh, for team of the year. I mean, we've talked about so many of these different programs that we've had over the past year. I think this would have been much harder if we did the 2024 calendar year with so many different accomplishments from all those. Not to say that this was a downward year, but this was one where less shined than years past. But I think one that certainly shined for Kerry this past year was women's basketball.
Oh, just tremendous. And, to go the entire calendar year, as we mentioned, without a loss in the regular season, be a top 25 team at the end of last year, going into the postseason. And then right now, sitting on the doorstep of the top 25, already with three top 25 wins this year before Christmas. So the RPI looking good, undefeated this season, 50 regular season wins in a row. I mean, team of the year, it's got to be women's basketball.
Yeah. So women's basketball is going to get that honor this year. And kind of skip past the most improved team of the year. I have to think that goes to beach volleyball. That's a team that had a losing record back in 2024. They come through in 2025 and get back on the winning side of things, go to an overall record of 15-9, 9-3 in the conference, which they play in the Sun for beach volleyball. But congratulations to the coaching staff there for that achievement. All right, now for the big one, coach of the year. Who is it going to be? You have all kinds of names to choose from, but Josh, it's got to go to the one that brought Kerry to a national championship stage in their first year, not only as a coach, but also in their program's first year of existence. Robert Gonzalez for swimming, to be able to accomplish that, that's pretty special.
Yeah, he's contagious. I had a chance to go down and broadcast my first swimming match down in Biloxi earlier this year. You cannot talk to this man about swimming and not get excited about it. It's a reason why that program's going to continue to grow and flourish, and big things on the horizon. Big things have already been accomplished. But in a program where national championships are the standard, to instantly get the program there is very special.
So that is Robert Gonzalez, our coach of the year in 2025. That's a wrap up on the Crusader Awards. So congratulations to all nominees, not just those that won, but man, we could be on and on for all day with honorable mentions and people that are deserving of an award. We've just got to come up with a new title for one to give them out. But hey, congratulations to all of those. And Josh, till next time, man, Happy New Year and Merry Christmas.
Yep, same, back at you.
All right, well, that does it for us. For Josh West, I'm Caleb Hamill. Good night, God bless, and go Saters.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.